Well, in the first place, only too obviously, a great Buddhist has to be a Buddhist. Maybe that isn't always realized, so let me repeat it. A great Buddhist has to be a Buddhist. That's the first thing. You can't be a great Buddhist unless you're a Buddhist. The great Buddhist has to be committed per se, by definition, in theory and in practice, to the three jewels. He or she has to go for refuge to the three jewels, to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. To be a great Buddhist, whether of the 20th century or any other century, it's not enough to be a scholar in Buddhism, however learned one may be. One may know Pali, one may know Sanskrit, Tibetan, Chinese, all of which languages modern scholars in Buddhism have to know apparently, but one is not a great Buddhist unless one also goes for refuge to the three jewels. And it's not enough either to occupy a prominent position in a Buddhist organization. During my time in the East, this was one of the great stumbling blocks for me. I'd come into contact with various Buddhist organizations, meet their secretaries and presidents, and then I discover that they weren't Buddhists. And I thought, well, how is it that someone who's not even a Buddhist can lead a Buddhist organization? This was a great puzzle to me in those youthful days of mine. And similarly, to be a great Buddhist, it's not enough to have been born into an important Buddhist family. Not enough, for instance, to have been born into a royal Buddhist family or Buddhist royal family. That also doesn't make one a great Buddhist. And a great Buddhist, I would say, is one who possesses at least some of the characteristically Buddhist qualities to an eminent degree. Not just a little bit of metta, but a lot of metta. Not just a little bit of virya, but a lot of virya. Not just a little bit of panya, but a lot of panya. So a great Buddhist, among other things, is one who possesses at least some of the characteristically Buddhist qualities to an eminent degree. Of course, it goes without saying that he or she possesses also the characteristically human qualities to an eminent degree. One can't be a great or even a good Buddhist without being at the same time a great or good human being. And then again, a great Buddhist is one whose life and work as a Buddhist influences many other people, especially many other Buddhists. Thus, the great Buddhist contributes to the making of Buddhist history. The great Buddhist has a place in Buddhist history. And finally, a great Buddhist is a paradigmatic figure. The great Buddhist provides a model or an example for other Buddhists, both during his lifetime and after his death. He or she functions as a source of permanent inspiration and guidance for other Buddhists. Now, the great Buddhists about whom I'm going to speak this afternoon are not, I would say, all equally great. It's not easy to compare that. They're not great in quite the same way, though they are great. And I must also say that I personally don't necessarily agree with everything they said or did or wrote. But they were all undoubtedly great in the sense that I have defined. So it's probably high time I told you who these great Buddhists about whom I'm going to speak are. Well, there are five of them. I pondered for quite a while whether there should be 7 or 6 or 5 or 4. But in the end, I thought, well, 5 is just the right kind of number. So the 5 are, first of all, Anagarika Dharmapala. Secondly, Alexandra David-Neil. Thirdly, B.R. Ambedkar. Fourthly, Lama Govinda. And fifthly, Edward Conza. Quite a bunch, huh? And I'm going to talk about them in this same order, which happens, by the way, to be the chronological order, that is to say, the order in which they were born, though not the order in which they died. All except the last, that is to say, Edward Conza, were born actually not in the 20th, but in the 19th century, but all five did most, if not all, of their important and significant work for Buddhism in the 20th century. So they can be quite legitimately regarded as being great Buddhists of the 20th century. Now, in speaking about them, I'm not going to give you too much biographical detail. I'm not going to tell you what they had for breakfast, for instance. I'm only going to give sufficient biographical information as will enable us to understand their significance, their meaning, their importance for us today at the end of the 20th century. 20th century, that is to say, of the Christian era. This isn't our Buddhist 20th century. We must never forget that. Perhaps I should add a word or two about that. Nowadays, of course, we hear quite a bit about celebrating the end of the second millennium. But it's not our millennium. I mean, Buddhists, I remember it very well. In 1956 to 57 in India, we celebrated the 2500th anniversary of Buddhism, the 2500th anniversary of the Parinirvana. So it's not our 2000th anniversary, not our second millennium, and we mustn't forget that. And I suggest that when the year 2000 comes, we as Buddhists find something else to celebrate. Anyway, that is just by the way.